Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the SWBL podcast. We are back in action again for a special presentation of the SWBL podcast as we head into season 20 coming up in 2022. And I am pleased to be joined by two people with the same first name. So yes, this podcast is going to get quite confusing. And you know, my middle name, I don't know if you guys knew this, but my middle name is also John. So, you know, we got three Johns right here. And it was also my confirmation name. You know, so in the program, it was Samuel John Skibby. Didn't expect that when I was in eighth grade. So yeah, it's a little embarrassing, but a lot of Johns at this podcast. So we welcome them both. The reason I have two Johns here, ladies and gentlemen, everybody watching and listening, is because these are the two brand new franchise captains for the SWBL season 20. It was just announced this past week. Then we are so excited. The front office had, you know, these proposals from these two guys on teams. And these two proposals definitely make the most sense with the landscape of our league. So we're very excited to have these two veterans of the league kind of taking the reins for the first time in their history, in their careers. John Light, we'll start with you. You actually are not a stranger to a captain. You know, back in season two, you were a captain with your brother, Peter Light, quote unquote captain, just because Peter was the rookie. But, you know, you have a little experience in it. You know, you have a 4-2 overall playoff record. You won the 2020 championship with the Expos, obviously, and were a big part of that, the heart and soul of the Expo squad that year. And, you know, the right fielder cornerstone for them, you know, but we'll go back because your only other experience in the playoffs really has been back in season two. And can we talk about that real quick? You may not remember, but you and Peter actually had to forfeit the finals game. It is the only SWBL championship that has ever been forfeited, and you were the captain. Is that bad omen to come, John, or what's going to be the change? But, you know, talk about that year, and are you glad to be back in the captain seat to redeem yourself?
Well, first off, Sam, thanks for having me. Okay. So is it a bad omen? No, it's not. Actually, that was probably payback because in season two, I could drive and Peter couldn't, and I would make him walk to your house instead of driving for our games. And that was probably payback for that jerk move.
I kid when I say that, you know, it was a different time and who knew. Who knew we would be approaching, obviously, season 20 back in that time. And you took a long break after that and then came back with a vengeance, winning comeback player of the year in 2015. And then following that up with a home run derby championship as well in 2016. And obviously the championship in 2020. And John, you will be representing the Orioles. Talk a little bit about, you know, obviously the rule is currently we do current MLB teams from our lifetime. So obviously people will say, well, the Expos aren't current, but obviously in our lifetime, the Expos were around. So that's kind of like the mindset behind it, because you can find merchandise for those teams readily available. But talk about why Orioles, if there's a backstory to why you chose that team.
There's a couple of reasons. One, it just flat out because it was the best name available. I mean, a lot of the good ones have been picked over. Two is, I very much wanted to be the Browns. And when that was not going to happen, I knew that the Browns became the Orioles. So that was another reason that I chose it.
Nice. And, you know, we'll move on to John Callaway. Probably later on in this podcast, I'll just be mentioning you by last name, guys, to help keep everybody straight. But John Callaway, this is your first ever time as a captain. You know, you joined the league and won Rookie of the Year and a championship all in the same year with the quote unquote Yankees of old. You know, it was just Scott and Sam Bakula, yourself, and you named yourselves the Bash Brothers that year. And some will say it was the worst pitching year of the entire, you know, SWBL years that's ever happened, but you guys won the championship your first year, won Rookie of the Year, had a fantastic year, followed that up going into the franchise era and joining the Indians, where you were with Spencer Bogad and Alex Heck. And so you got to see Spencer in his first ever time as a captain as well, and got to, you know, talk and be with Alex Heck, who is now the captain of the A's. And then you go back to the Bash Brothers and you're under the tutelage of Scott Poley for such a long time. But you made such a surprising move last year going to the Astros. And it was met with a lot of, you know, people were excited for the franchise. They were excited for you to get a different look. And it was something really cool that we haven't seen. We haven't seen a big, big free agent. You know, we saw Brett go from the Rockies to the Expos, but we haven't seen something like that since then. And you kind of, set the tone for what's to come in the free agency for season 20. Mm. But talk about your decision to go to the Astros and what it was like learning under Brian Benware, who is really a hardcore, intense manager.
Yeah, and I think to just preface, you know, my answer here, I would argue that my experiences with the Yankees and Astros have been next to none. You know, we're going to talk over captain qualities later, but I would definitely consider Scott and Brian having, you know, that top level elite status as captains. Yeah. But answering your question directly, I love change, man. It gets me jacked up. It fuels me. But I think, you know, internally with the Yankees, and there were a lot of things moving around, and you know this too, right? Like a lot of things are moving with a lot of teams. I mean, shoot, you've seen two close already this year, and two, including obviously me and John, entering the league as two new franchises. I think for me, I just wanted to see something new. I knew there was going to be a lot more opportunity, to produce, get more at bats, be that cornerstone, true cornerstone of a team a player for a team. Right. Cause when you look at the Yankees, I mean, you got arguably the best pitcher in the league in Jackson Crosley.
Yeah.
You have Scott Poley, who year in and year out is in the MVP talk.
Yeah.
And then you got Sam Bacula, who can hit the ball a mile. And then you got Kevin Poley, right? So you never know really, like, in my position, how is I going to play a role in that? Were we just going to, you know, throw everybody on the field and now we got about five, which I would have been fine with because I trust Scott, you know, to the moon and back. But I think I was just looking for something where I could, and this sounds, you know, kind of arrogant. I hope it does. I mean, hope
no, it doesn't.
It sounds as humble as possible, but I just wanted a bigger role, I think.
Definitely. And, you know, obviously
overshadowed by the other guys, you know?
Yeah. And it worked out for you guys because the Astros needed your bat and your bat came up huge and you got them to a division championship and the first ever playoff appearance for them. And they were so excited and you guys fell just short against your former team, the Yankees, losing 6-4 in the semifinals and almost made a comeback to get past them into the championship, which would have been something special, especially the year after the Expos did it. So both of you guys have seen recent success in the playoffs. You've gotten to the playoffs, gotten to a division. And while John, the Expos didn't win the division, to win three games, including the wild card game, was such an amazing feat for the Expos. And then John Callaway, you know, taking the Astros and winning that division is no tough feat, you know, I mean, or is a very tough feat, excuse me. It's no easy feat. And the Rockies were in that division and, you know, they had to go to a wild card spot. And it was just so great to see this different change. So I thank you for adding that bit of drama, John Callaway, to our season last year, but drama is upon us, fellas, in season 20, both of you guys, the Orioles, and I didn't mention this, but John Callaway, talk about the White Sox as well. What was the decision behind that? And John, interestingly enough, you guys originally wanted to be the Orioles because that was your former childhood team. And then when you chose the White Sox, John Light took over the Orioles. So talk about what you thought of when you saw John Light's back of his head and the name Orioles come across. Were you surprised?
I wouldn't say I was surprised. I mean, the Orioles is a classic team name,
yeah,
right? It's going to be a great franchise for the SWBL. You can do whatever you want with them.
Sure.
If you want to make them flashy of who they are now, if you want to go old school.
Yeah.
And obviously, and John, I love the note that you talked about with the Browns.
Yeah.
I think that was that honestly might have been our first choice. If we could pull names out of, you know, that were from years ago. But yeah, you said it right. Childhood team, Orioles you know, was that choice. And then after sitting down and thinking about it, we just thought that, and I say we, but obviously, you know, there's nobody on my team yet. I think we can be flashy with the White Sox, and there's a lot of flexibility with how we design what we wear. And
definitely
also, you know, the White Sox are that South Side team, so it was kind of playing on words, right? All of us being from Parkway South. Majority. Or you might see some of that verbiage on the South Side, which the MLB team adopts today.
It definitely is, you know, the MLB style team. The White Sox are definitely a flashy team right now, but definitely an up and coming team. So it's going to be really interesting too. And, you know, John Calloway, I'm really excited because we have wanted to get, you know, your age group, you know, all together. And we feel like that's going to be a good connection to have you as a captain, but I welcome you both to the captain's circle. And we're very excited to get winter meeting going and get the new text thread with all the new captains on it. It's going to be so strange not having Peter Light or Gus Skibby on as captains. Also a good thing too, you know, I like less front office members to be captains. I think it adds more leadership capabilities to the league. So I welcome you both as leaders. You've been leaders throughout your time in your careers, but we're excited to put a stamp on it as captains. You know, John Light, I'll go back to you. We are going into season 20, and you've been a part of this since season one. You know, you were on the first team with Kevin Wee Tucker in that very first year. And then you second year with your brother, Peter, when he won Rookie of the Year, making it to the championship. You've been a part of this since day one. And talk to us about what you're most looking forward to about season 20. And I'm not really including anything to do with your own team. And just to all the listeners out there, this is not a podcast where we're revealing any roster ideas, anything like that. We're not talking about the players that we're joining. It's literally just introducing our two captains and the teams and their philosophies behind their teams. But John Light, talk about what you're most excited for heading into season 20 with all your experience.
Yeah. I mean, the answer every year is pretty much the same, right? I mean, it's kind of the camaraderie, it's showing up and hanging out, but that's one reason people come out. I think another reason people come out is to play and compete. And that's certainly going to be a really important factor to this. And then I think the third reason that people come out is to be entertained. And those are the three things that people show up for this event every year. People fly in from all over the country. And I think we'll do a little bit of all three of those things.
Yeah, it is definitely one of the best weekends of the year. And we have this pent up energy for 361 days leading to these 4 days of wiffle ball, the wiffle Woodstock of the world, if you will.
I mean, but like this year is probably like 3 years of pent up energy.
That's true.
Honest, because nothing's been normal the last two years. And the product on the field really didn't change all that much from over the last 2 years, but everything off the field kind of did.
Yeah. And we are very excited. You know, there's been a lot of talk with front office, been a lot of talks outside of, you know, this off season, trying to see what we can do to make it bigger and better, because season 20 just has to be different. It's got to be different. You know, season 15 was kind of different, added a few things here and there, but season 20 is a big one. You know, it seems like every 5 years now is going to be a big one, right? 20, 25, 30, it just keeps getting better, and we'll see how high we can get. And obviously all three of us have children of our own, so we'll keep going until they can start taking over. Absolutely. But John Calloway, I'll go to you next. And what's been, you know, in your career, you did 1 year previous to the franchise era, and then you've been a part of the franchise era for most of it. But what's been your favorite SWBL moment so far that you want to bring that energy or something like that to your team too? You know, so there's so many things that happen. You've been a part of different teams. You've seen a lot of great events, you know, little side games that people play. Or is there something that you've loved about an SWBL moment that you really want to bring to your team, whether it's on or off the field?
Sure. Well, to echo what John said in one of the previous questions, obviously the camaraderie is, you know, it ranks highly up on that list, right? I think another obvious answer is a championship. Yeah, I want to bring that to the White Sox franchise.
Yeah.
But, you know, taking looking at it from an intangible perspective, you know, one thing I really value now after switching from the Yankees to the Astros is developing those deep relationships with more members in the league. You know, I was not close to any of those guys on the Astros.
Yeah.
I knew Brian from college, and we weren't even at Missouri State together, right?
Yeah. Same fraternity,
Same fraternity, right?
Yeah.
And then we had some overlap with the SWBL and, you know, the fraternity. So, you know, we could connect some dots there. But, yeah, I think, like, my hope would be to add a diverse group of guys onto the White Sox roster and start that all over. You know, that's a fun part. That's what we're about here in the league. We're not just about being competitive and having gamers on the field and, you know, having fun, being entertaining. Those are all things that we value 100%. But I think when you really boil it down, and you guys know this, it's to really build those friendships with the guys that you're walking in and out of the Skibby Wiffle Ball field, you know, the blur all the time.
Yeah.
That's what we look forward to, right? 361 days.
You know, and you guys have both been a part of some great franchises. And, you know, we kind of listed your history, John Callaway. You know, John Light, you've been a part of some great teams as well. You've been under Kevin Weetucker for a long time and Peter Light as well with the Brewers for a long time as well. And you've seen two great captains. You know, you've seen the Expos win franchise of the year. You've seen them win a championship and build something from, I hate to say this, but build something from nothing to something incredible. And one of the most amazing runs we've seen. And I'll ask you both this question, because you're both going into this captain's kind of cold. I know, John, you have some previous experience, but the league is completely different than it was back in that day. But what makes a good captain? You guys have seen good captains. You've seen other teams with great captains perform on the field, off the field. So John Light, I'll start with you. You've been the heart and soul of the Expos for a long time. You've been kind of a co-captain with Kevin. You know, Kevin's that, you know, face. He's been that guy on the paper, but you've also done a lot of captain duties. But what have you seen, John Light, that makes a good captain in this league?
So a good captain, or maybe I should say a great captain, has to be able to analyze situations without emotion. And they have to be willing to make difficult decisions or unpopular decisions. And they have to be able to be really good at listening to their teammates. But sometimes listening to your teammates is not listening to your teammates and following your gut. But I think, you know, if you kind of take a little bit of all those three things, you'd have a really great captain.
And John Callaway, is there anything you want to echo? Is there anything you want to add to what you would say, you know, makes a good, great captain on, off the field? What are you thinking?
I think when you look at any organization, you want those things that John said, right? You want somebody who's consistent. You want somebody who's dependable. You want them to care, right? But you also want that person to be able to make tough decisions and have hard conversations.
There are so many big rosters the past couple of years that, you know, you've seen people juggle playing time and make, and, you know, even last year, John Callaway, you saw Brian Benmore having to make some hard decisions with Keaton, your teammate Keaton. And, you know, Keaton had struggle. He was on kind of the struggle bus at the beginning of the season. And it was about finding those times where you could implement Keaton to make a big moment. And eventually Keaton grew as a player last year more. So, you know, you're finding those times to enter people into the game, take people out, and off the field too. It's about making sure the camaraderie is together with your team, you know, and those decisions that were on the field don't affect you outside, you know, don't affect you off the field because you're still a team together and you're hanging out for four straight days together too. So that's good insight from both of you. Let's move right along to a little different segment that we had. I actually had both of you, and this is, you know, everybody out there listening, all the captains, take it with a grain of salt. But I want you guys, I told you guys to rank your top four captains that are current captains in the league right now. And we're going to do something that Trent Steffes was known for creating and for his uniform power rankings, and that's counter rankings. So I'm going to start with John Light. You know, been a part of the league a little longer, you know, started with season one. So John Light, you're going to go first and you're going to give us number four. Then John Callaway, you'll give us number three. If John Light takes your number four person, you got to go the next one down your list, right? So you got to keep going. You can add it in however you guys feel from your top four. If he picks your number one, John Callaway, then your number one's gone and everything shifts up, right? So same thing for both of you. And John Callaway, you will eventually have the number one afterwards for us too. So we'll see if it works out. We'll see if all of your top fours go there. We'll ask some questions afterwards. But John Light, get us started. Who is the number four best captain in the SWBL, and maybe a short reason why.
Alex Heck. And the why would be, oh man, I see you guys don't agree with me. But the why would be, I think he's done a lot of different things, right? And so first off, the A's have been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. They almost shocked the world. He's brought in, you know, bigger name guys like a Paul Castellano. He's grown from, you know, nothing, kind of like the Expos did. And, he had a, you know, couple good rookies last year, one specifically. So
yeah,
eye for talent. It's kind of like all of those, you know, everything you could want in a person, in a manager, excuse me, he kind of has done over the course of the career.
Yeah. All right. Alex Heck, that was a great one, you know, and I love Alex, and I think Alex and Steve make a good tandem with the Athletics, and they've been doing a lot of great stuff. And Alex been away from the game a couple years, you know, and then came back last year finally and got to see Alex Heck back. And, you know, we've been talking about heart and soul, but he is definitely the heart and soul of that Athletic squad. John Callaway, go to number three manager in the SWBL. Who is it?
Well, John, you thought I disagreed with you, but Alex Heck was actually my number three.
Wow. All right. So maybe your number four goes here.
You were bummed. Your look wasn't disagreement. It was shock. Understood.
It was bummed. Oh, yeah.
I
took it.
I was baffled. The fact that, you know, we started this new segment and boom, right out of the gate, I get
same one.
Shock. So I would give my number four.
Okay.
And that is Chris Metter. Reason being, year in and year out, he seems to develop championship winning rosters.
Yeah.
And you know, he's not a flashy guy. He's not somebody who is getting into all these arguments over the weekend. He keeps his team controlled for the most part and lets the results speak for themselves.
Yeah. Truly an amazing, you know, player on and off the field, you know, has put together this run of championships. The numbers are insane. He's won half of the franchise era years, you know, every other year, it seems like Chris Metter is holding up the trophy. So he has won half of the franchise era years. And, you know, Twins obviously winning last year, and, you know, they are definitely destined. They were the first team ever to break the SWBL curse. 19 years, the preseason power rank number one team has never won, but this year the Twins broke the curse finally. So somebody did it, and of course it was Chris Metter with his voodoo magic. So John Light, go back to you. Who is the number two in our counter rankings? We have Alex Heck at number four, Chris Metter at number three. So John Light, who is the number two?
Yeah, I might pivot a little bit and to give my number one, because I want to say something nice about my number one, and because I don't know that John.
That's fine. That's all about the counter rank. You sure?
Yeah. So number two is going to be Eli, but I don't want to say anything nice about him on this podcast. So I'll shout out obviously Kevin Wheatucker, who I learned a lot from, and done all the things in the league and made very unselfish decisions. And I think that the Manager of the Year Award should be named after him. It should be the Kevin Wheatucker Manager of the Year Award going forward. And he's the best. So that's number two. So I can shout him out.
Kevin Wheatucker, it comes in at number two in our counter rankings. Would have been John's one, but came in at number two for our counter rankings. John Callaway, that brings us to number one. And you have a tough decision ahead of you because you have two of your past managers still on the board. You know, you have Eli, who was mentioned as well. You have Blake Spencer / Brian Kenny, kind of the co-architects of the Rockies the past many years. And you also, you know, you could say each other, one of you two too, but it's not proven yet. So, you know, there's lots to say, but we have a feeling it's going to be one of the two. But who are you going to go with for the number one captains for this counter ranking?
Scott Poley beats Brian Benwerout, respectively.
Yeah.
You know, I think spending that much time, and, you know, Scott and I, buddies off the field too. And I think his approach to everything is extremely consistent. And even this past year, you know, there were a lot of tough conversations and a lot of emotional conversations that took place between he and I. And that made me just appreciate him and respect him even more. So I think I'm going to take a lot of how he engaged with his players, as I was one of them, and adopt that into, you know, my franchise, the White Sox.
Awesome. Yeah, a lot of great names left off this list, obviously. Doesn't mean that you weren't deserving on this list, because that's just how the counter rankings go. I'm sure some of those guys, like you said, Eli and Brian, were both on your guys' lists. They just got picked over because you counter rank and go back and forth. So it's going to be really exciting to see more players like yourselves step up in that leadership role, like I said earlier, and not just be the same old front office people that are also captains, but it's going to be really cool to have more voices and more leadership abilities for everybody else to see what we can do on and off the field. You know, this off season has already begun. You know, if I was the off season conductor, I'd be giving a big choo-choo right now, because we are chugging along already. You know, there's already been some big stuff, and it started with you guys. We wanted to make sure that we announced the captains first, and then that was going to start rolling this tidal wave of off season announcements. And obviously, we saw recently Kyle Breida of the Rockies retiring from the SWBL in a season 20 anniversary year. But hey, you know, he wants to do some other things with family and friends, and we totally get that. And you know, he's hopefully going to make a return. He even said that in his quote, that he hopes to make a return. But we are going to miss Kyle Breida and the belly button magic that the Rockies brought. So if we hear all of these off-season changes, you know, we saw that the Royals and Brewers leaving the SWBL, both franchises disbanding, puts 15 free agents just from those two teams. There are 15 free agents on the board that have to go somewhere or won't find a team. So this offseason is going to be one for the ages leading up to season 20, not only with two new teams coming, but where will some of these players fall, if they fall at all? We know with the addition of Mo Whiff over in Chesterfield, the fast pitch league, and a lot of crossover is already there. There's a lot of guys that are interested that are probably going to be signing up as well. A lot of players played in summer league. I know, John, you played with some of them in some, won a championship with Adam North and Cam Smith, both guys over at Mo Whiff guys over there. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of changes. So let's talk about, you know, this off season. Going into this off season is important for all managers to make your team better, right? You want to make your team better in some way. You guys have to build a roster basically from scratch. It's just you right now. And you can't sign anybody until January 1st because you don't even have restricted free agency because you weren't a team last year. So if you want to draft rookies, that's not till March, you know. So unrestricted free agency will begin on January 1st when registration for the league also begins. But let's talk about your philosophies going into this offseason. What's going to be your team philosophy? What are you looking for in players? And if you, we'll get to a question later, but what are you looking to build as a team? John Light, we'll start with you. What are you looking to build, and what's the goal this offseason?
Would like to get veterans, because I think that there's a learning curve in this league. And I've thought that for a long time. You know, you don't just show up. And we've seen guys come who are really good wiffle ball players from across the country, and the first year here is a little different. I don't know if it's a slanted field. I don't know if it's all the people watching. I don't know what it is, but there's a learning curve. So veterans would be up there, and guys who kind of know what they're doing and have been around the block. That would be ideal.
Yeah, for sure. And especially a veteran like yourself, you know, you've been around this league for a long time. It makes sense indeed. You know, John Callaway, you know, what's the goal this offseason? What are you looking to build with the White Sox?
Yeah, all good questions, right? And you said we want to develop, you know, a core group of people, players that, you know, can commit, be on the roster long term. I don't know if that's possible, but that's a goal, right?
Yeah.
But when you look at team philosophy, you know, it's real simple, right? We just want every single guy on the roster to know the situation. That's what we're going to live and die by, right? Know what's going on, whether you're in the box or in the field, know the situation. And then when you look at, you know, what are we looking to build? You know, take the players out of it, right? I just want the White Sox to be a platform, you know, that really allows us to be best in class franchise, better people, and lastly, with the ball players.
Awesome. Love that. And I think that both of you are going to make great captains here in the future. And I'm so excited to see what you guys come up with this offseason. Let's do a hypothetical question. What if everybody, you start from scratch, was a free agent, except for the captains? Everybody was a free agent. who would be your top free agent target? And it could be somebody that is a free agent currently, or you know is going to be a free agent, or you know you hope is going to be a free agent this year. But if the entire league, even captains, even if you know Scott Poley and Blake Spencer, if they were available, anybody was available for you too. John Light, we'll start with you. Who would be your top free agent target if everyone in the league was available?
It's a tough question. I like how in these podcasts, Sam, you always ask the questions that are going to start controversy. And I know that you're doing it on purpose, and it's funny because you say one person, there's like 15 guys like, what?
Why did you pick me?
And so you know that I have a history of like ducking your questions. But I'll give you an honest answer. Spencer Bogaad would be my answer. And it's simple. I think he's been the best player in the league over the last 3 years, and he's a veteran. And that's what I said I wanted. So it's that would be the guy.
Yeah, Spencer Bogaad is a free agent as it sits. You know, he had a one-year deal with the Twins, playoff MVP, the reason they won those last two games, and definitely, a back-to-back MVP winner before that. Corey McCarthy, his teammate, winning this past year, but two times before that was Spencer Bogaad. Definitely a good choice. John Callaway, who would be your target, top free agent available if everyone was available?
Got to go with Gus Bus Skibby. Fits the mold. He's the guy.
Definitely both great picks, and both will be free agents heading into it. Gus, obviously unrestricted free agent, and Spencer still a restricted free agent until January. But Gus will not be able to sign with any teams until January 1st. It is so interesting, like I said earlier, to see names like Peter Light and Gus Skibby on this free agent list, like players that you kind of never thought would be a free agent. And those cornerstone franchises that have been around since the beginning of the franchise era, the Royals and the Brewers, are now gone. And it's going to be a fresh look for the SWBL heading into the anniversary season. But two great picks, and I doubt anybody would be picking anybody really different other than those two if they had their pick for the first overall pick in a redraft league. Let's move on to season 20 coming up on the field. Something we do in February, and this has been new the past couple of years, where we have done a division draw, where we have tiered the teams out based on last year's finish. And if a team worked hard for their certain tier, then they deserve to be in that tier. And sometimes there are really great teams in tier 3 or tier 2. And depending on what happens in the offseason, they could all of a sudden, they're supposed to be a tier 1 team, or a tier 1 team is supposed to be a tier 2 or 3 team. It just depends on what happens in the offseason. But this is how the tiers shake out this year, guys. Tier 1, obviously you have the champions, the Twins, and the team that got second place and also won their division, the Yankees. Then you also have the Astros, who won their division. Despite, the Astros, obviously, despite losing to the Yankees, Yankees are in Tier 1. And despite, you could say, the Royals beat the Astros in the only game that they played them, you could also, make an argument, but the Royals aren't in. So the Astros, they won their division. They got third place. They have the clear spot to the tier one spot, which is, in my opinion, a huge advantage for them and something that they definitely need, losing arguably their best hitter in you, John Callaway, this past year. It's going to be really interesting to see how Brian Benware fills that hole and see how tier one helps him, only playing the Yankees and the Twins one time. Then in tier two, based off of both of your team's finishes, that you were in the past, and what we know so far of your roster makeups, we averaged out kind of your three, you and two other people averaged out their finishes, and the White Sox will be in tier two along with the Rockies and the Athletics, who earned fifth and sixth place in the league last year. So they earned their spot in tier two, which drops John Light, your team, the Orioles, down to tier three, and then has the Expos and the Marlins with in that. This is going to be a really interesting year because, nobody knows what the rosters of the White Sox and the Orioles are going to be completed as. The Rockies, there's been a lot of controversy, with people staying or leaving. Kyle Breida obviously retiring. Are they going to fill that void? How is it going to fill? The Athletics, are a growing team and continuing to get better. Expos right now, they still won a championship in 2020. They still have arguably the best pitcher of the past 3 years in Jimmy Nelson. And then the Marlins, they won three games last year. Don't sleep on them, guys. They won from 0 to 3. They're going to keep climbing too. So John Light, I'll talk with you first. talk about the Orioles as a tier three team from what you know of your roster so far, what you're, you know, what needs to happen for your team to make a playoff run. Think of this scenario. What if you have the Yankees, White Sox, and Orioles, all three of your teams in the same division? It's tough for three teams to come out of one division. I mean, you have to pretty much sweep Interleague after that. So, John Light, talk about, you know, being a tier three team with this field that continuously is becoming the, you know, the most competitive year we've ever had.
Well, that's it. I mean, I don't care, because you could put all nine teams in a hat and draw out three, and I think you'd get about the same balanced divisions as you're going to get from this thing. So
yeah,
what does it matter? I mean, I think, you know, jokingly, I would say expand the playoffs, but you know, don't do that. So I'm just not going to worry about it, and know that no matter how you were made divisions, they're going to be tough. I mean, that hypothetical one you just put together in theory with the Yankees and the
White Sox and Orioles.
Even the let's say it was the Twins and the White Sox and the Orioles. I mean, that's really, really tough. But short of something like that, I think, you know, no matter how you do it, it's going to be tough either way. So
it is, you know, even, you know, the Expos and Marlins being in tier three and arguably the two worst quote unquote teams on, you know, that you could say on paper from past last year. You know, but the Expos, again, they just won a championship in 2020 and the Marlins getting better. So John Callaway, talk about, you know, are you excited that you're in a tier two position, or, you know, is it, are you kind of like John Lyle? Like, it really doesn't matter. We're nine teams deep in this league now and every game is going to be competitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would echo what John said. Probably. I mean, any way you cut it, man, people that lose games historically win games. People that sweep the league lose games. Yeah. Like, you never know how it's going to shake up. But looking at our team and, you know, what I want, you know, it to look like and who I'm going to target, you know, at the end of the day, and this is probably goes for most teams, we got to hit. Like, that, this is a hitter's league. You can't put goose eggs out there.
Yeah.
You got to be ready to swing the bat. And I'm hoping my roster that I can assemble will reflect some heavy hitters in that regard.
Yeah. You know, the past couple of years, it's almost turned a corner where pitching is kind of somewhat dominated in a few different ways. But I think a lot of teams are having that mindset of, we got to get back to hitting, because that's how you're going to win these games against these good pitchers. You just got to hit. You got to keep grinding at bats to get that pitcher early.
The pitchers have kind of gotten an advantage over the last 3 to 4 years, but that's John's point, is you that makes the hitting that much more important, because if you can get it, you can overcome it.
Yeah.
Right. And taking that philosophy a little further, right? You assemble a top-notch ace kind of guy on your roster, put him on the mound. You need to hit still, right? Like, there's no way around it. Like, you want to put as much support behind your ace as possible. And if you're putting up, like, we know, guys, right? Like, 5-run games do not win you games, right?
Unless you're the 2020 Expos, then hey, you can get away with it.
Sure. Right. Right. But I mean, that's a prime example of what I was talking about, right? Like, historically losing teams.
Yeah.
Cruise through somehow, sneak by, and they have these low scoring games and they string it together at the right moments. Next thing you know, they got a championship. Next thing you know, they got a championship.
And the only way to combat that is to hit. Yeah, I agree. So, you know, all of these teams, like we've talked about, every year it seems like we get more deep with our talent level in this league. And it just seems like the teams are shuffling to a point where, okay, usually it was always the same five teams that made the playoffs. And then it turned into, okay, kind of six teams, but now we're turning into like 8/9 teams that really have a shot at making the playoffs. And these tiers are going to be really interesting, because if it shakes down where you get three really good teams in one division, somebody's not making playoffs and those other teams have an advantage. So it's going to be a really interesting year for season 20, not just because it's an anniversary year, but also just the competitive nature of our league and the competitive level is rising. Let's talk about your team's minimum successes for a first season. You know, obviously you could just go, you know, everything all in one, bet all in and say, hey, it's championship or bust for this team. But this is your first year. You know, there may be some bumps along the way. There may be some growing pains. You're going to get a new roster of players that maybe haven't played together before. But John, let's start with you. What's a minimum success for your first season? If you have multiple successes, you can give them, but what's the minimum success for the Orioles in 2022?
Championship or bust.
Wow. You're going all in with this. All right.
I would not have left my, you know, very comfortable spot on the Expos that I really enjoyed. And, you know, becoming a manager was a very difficult decision, one that took some time to really think over. And the only way I would have done it is if I felt like people would want to play with me in a way that would help win a championship. And awesome. And anything short of that, I would have just said, you know what, Sam, I think instead of being a manager, I'm just going to stay on the Expos.
Yeah. All right. Good philosophy behind it. John Callaway, minimum success for a first season.
Record-wise, 7-3. And hope, right, get to that championship.
Yeah.
And take the crown. But outside of that, we don't care about the accolades. We don't care about the awards. You know, we're going to put our best foot forward in being that type of team, but it's certainly not a target point for us. We're just trying to make this place, you know, a better league to be in, and at the end of the day, try and win a championship.
All right. I fully expected you guys to say playoffs, you know, that was the minimum success, you know, but you're just going all out, you know. 7-3 is like division winner, like, you know,
moving on. And it's really tough in this league.
And championship, you know, is no, you know, easy feat as well. So both high expectations, which you love to see from first time managers, high expectations for your team, which is just going to be super exciting to see what you guys can build this offseason. We say it over and over again, but everybody's really looking forward to January 1st to see if these kind of come in quickly because people want to build their rosters and they want to know who they got, or is it going to trickle slowly and people are going to hold out? So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. And I know you guys will be at the center of free agency coming up January 1st. All right. You know, we talked about, you know, all these great teams and we went through all of them in their tiers. As a captain, you get votes for preseason power rankings. You get votes for preseason award winners, you know, when we come out with all those things, because you have a certain knowledge about your team as well as, you know, other teams. You're talking on the captain circle as well. But I want to know, out of the 9 teams, who are your way too early predictions for playoff teams? You know, basically you guys know who your roster kind of somewhat is, you know, the core of your roster is just, you know, you guys have that close to your chest and it'll be revealed coming up in free agency, but knowing your roster and knowing everybody else's roster, what you've heard of the different rumors, who are your way too early predictions for their playoff 5 playoff teams? John Light, start us off.
I've gone first every time. I kind of want to hear what Johnny Callaway has to
say. Hey, you know what? You know, go right ahead. You know, you can change the script on me. John Callaway, let's hear it. He deferred to you.
Love it. Yeah, I was getting kind of upset. I thought I was just playing buddy-buddy, and I just have to, like, echo everything that John says.
It was age before beauty, John Callaway. Yeah. You know, that's what it was.
For sure. Cool. Here's the funny thing. You know, looking at the free agent list, in theory, know who's going to be blended into my franchise, right? We have an idea. The tough part here is there are a lot of other big names on that list.
There are. And if you're not adding them, then somebody else is. Yeah,
if they're not on my team, they're going to be blended into somebody else's. And the likelihood of that happening and being blended into teams that either just became franchise, like, you know, the Young Bucks running around in the Marlins. Like, I don't see Gus Skibby going there. So now we're talking Gus Skibby. He's going to Twins, Yankees, A's. Well, now he's, you know, now those teams just completely added a center, one of the best players in the league, right? Yeah. What's Spencer going to do? Could Gus and Spencer be on the same team? I hope not.
That'd be tough.
Right. But to answer the question, Twins, Yankees, White Sox, Astros, and A's.
Wow. So leaving off Rockies for the first time ever. Yes. And then the new team, the Orioles, who is your counterpart here tonight. And then the Expos champions of before, and obviously the Marlins off as well. Still haven't proved that they can be a championship run contender yet. You know, everybody else besides obviously the new teams, everybody else has made a playoff run except for the Marlins. Got to prove it first, I guess. Same thing with the Expos. You had to prove it first. They're at the bottom of the power rankings until they proved it. John Light, you know, that's big talk coming from the White Sox organization that you're not going to make playoffs. You heard it. So you wanted him to go first, and he said it. He played the gauntlet out for you. John Light, who are your five teams?
I predict that there will be such uproar over the tiering system that the front office will have to expand the playoffs to eight teams, and everyone except for the Marlins will get in.
And John Light dodging the question. Indeed, I can tell you, I will probably dictator that veto, and I will say we'll stick with five playoff teams. But hey, I like the gusto in your prediction for sure. You know, obviously, you know, John Callaway, you gave Twins and Yankees at the top there. I mean, you know, they proved it last year going first and second, but it's going to be really interesting to see how these off seasons play out, right? The Twins have Corey McCarthy going into free agency. They have Spencer Bogaert going into free agency, and Will Rath going into free agency. So that's three people on the Twins. The only person that's up for free agency for the Yankees is Jackson Crosley. So will the Yankees sign him back or will he go somewhere else? The Astros obviously losing you. We know that for sure. So those three tier teams are losing three huge pieces. They're free agents, like on all those teams. You're losing the MVP. You're losing a perennial Cy Wiffle candidate, and you're losing the best bat from the Astros last year in yourself. So, I mean, just tier one itself is already breaking down to free agency. So I can't wait to see what season 20 has in store this off season. And I can't wait to see what you guys bring to your franchises and bring to this league. And I thank you for being a part of this journey. And I can't wait to see you guys and your successes, your failures, everything else, and how you build from those as well. John Callaway, I'm coming back to you. Is there anything you want to mention to the viewers or anything we haven't said? You want to talk about your team? You want to talk about philosophy? Anything else you want to mention or just say hi to the people out there? It's up to you. It's your microphone right now.
Nothing crazy that we haven't already said. It's going to be an exciting year for all the viewers, all the fans, even the league members. Be ready for things to be shaken up.
Yeah, not only shaking up this offseason, but we're so excited to put on a great show for season 20. John Light, season 20 is upon us. What else can you say to the people out there?
It's going to be fun.
It will be fun indeed. What a great way to end it. We are so excited. We will have another podcast coming up in December. You know, the Wiffy Awards and the national teams are going to be coming out in December as well. And we'll have another podcast. Brian Benware has some big plans for the SWBL YouTube page and for the SWBL podcast station. I've been hosting a lot of podcasts throughout our time in the SWBL, and Brian Benware is going to be taking a bigger, larger role as kind of the host for some of these podcasts. So we're excited to see him take a step forward in leadership off the field as well. And we're excited to get that podcast. He and I will do a podcast talking about free agency leading up to January. And we'll have winter meeting coming up in December as well. That'll be for everyone to attend. We are going to be hopefully revealing a presenting sponsor so we can actually go back to a restaurant, you know, for winter meeting, all hang out together and get that Friday night sponsor back in action. That's something that we've been missing, that Friday night camaraderie before the competition the past couple of years with COVID. So we're hoping restaurants will have a nice little spot for us somewhere. So we're going to be coming out to all of those local restaurants to see if anybody wants to take on the presenting sponsor for season 20 anniversary. To the Johns, I thank you for joining me today. And for John Light and John Callaway, I'm Sam Skibby, Commissioner of the SWBL, and we will see you next time. Folks, season 20 is upon us.